They're not good enough to start. They're not even good enough to play. But they do talk a good game. So come join Lou and Jose from the sidelines, where all the best sports discussions happen anyway. Welcome in to the Bench Warmers Podcast.
Welcome into the program, everyone. I am Lou Ruggieri. That is Jose Ortiz. And this is the Benchwarmers Podcast. Wherever, whenever, and however you happen to be listening, we appreciate you taking some time out of your day, week, month, life to spend it with us. We are going to try to make it worth your while. Sports, football, top to bottom. That's what this show is about. Hopefully, you're into sports. If not, maybe you'll learn something. Stick around. This is Season 2, Episode 22, our 72nd show overall. We're creeping up to that century mark. I don't know what we're going to do when we get there, but it's going to be fun. You can go back and listen to all previous 71 episodes on iHeartRadio, Amazon. We're on Anchor, Google Podcasts, Radio Public, Breaker.audio, or wherever you get your podcast. Follow us along Facebook, YouTube, Instagram at the Benchwarmers Podcast, at the BW Pod on Twitter. Subscribe, rate, review. We need all the feedback, positive and negative, we can get, mostly positive, hopefully. Or go to thebenchwarmers.com for all things show related. Coming up in a little bit, we're going to make our week four picks. Jeez, I'm a week behind already. We're going to be playing Make No Mistake or Give Me a Break, which is our true false segment, injuries, news, and notes. And to kick off the show, a top three storylines this week. And Jose, I got to tell you, number one, right off the bat, the Rams, wow. The Rams making a statement win. We've been debating back and forth the last couple of weeks about what a statement win is or isn't. I believe the Rams basically putting the screws to the Bucks, 34-24. That's a statement win.
Yeah. There's no question. If there was a picture next to a video next to what the definition of a statement win was, that's it. It just really showed me that the Rams are the most complete team in the NFL. They can win in a number of ways. They have elite players on both sides of the ball. Matthew Stafford and Cooper Kupp just can't be stopped. They just can't be stopped. The defense is littered with playmakers. The Bucks, I mean, listen, they're a great team. They're going to be better prepared if they meet in the postseason. But I think it's safe to say that the Rams are just it wasn't really close, particularly to me. Yeah. The Rams were clearly the better team on Sunday.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, I mean, this, I have to say, I'm a Tom Brady fan. I've always been a Tom Brady fan. You know, I wasn't never much for the Patriots, but just Tom's story and everything, it's hard not to root for him. But I got to tell you, in this game, I was kind of rooting for Matt Stafford a little bit. I really was. I think that he's got such a good redemption. I guess it's not really a redemption story, but just to see him finally be able to utilize the talent that we've seen him have in a place that can actually make a difference. You know, 343 yards, four touchdowns. I mean, that's crazy. And the other side of the coin is the Bucks. I mean, yeah, they're defending champions, but as we've seen in the past, I mean, injuries, you know, the injuries to that secondary are creeping up. I mean, I thought Cam Akers for the Rams, I thought that was going to affect their offense a little bit, but clearly Matt Stafford is putting it on his shoulders and saying, come with me, we're going to go to the promised land. So,
yeah, I think impressive. Matthew Stafford might. I mean, you know, it's tough the way Kyler Murray's playing, but Matthew Stafford might be the early season MVP pick right now. He's just
for sure.
It's really just, you know, I think you and I have talked about this a few times where, you know, the team that drafts you, the team you're on really has an impact on how good you are. Very few players, you know, you have Barry Sanders who's able to overcome being on the Lions, you know, Calvin Johnson, but very few players can overcome being on an inept organization. And we saw Matthew Stafford actually have a pretty solid career with the Lions, but it just kind of shows you what could have been had he not been drafted to the Lions and been on an organization that actually knew what they were doing. He looks great.
Yeah, I mean, that's sort of what we're seeing now with Trevor Lawrence and Joe Burrow from the Bengals. Like, you just wonder. I mean, we'll get to those games a little bit later, but it's just sort of the same thing where it's like, you know, it's a shame sometimes that you have these crazy talented, the most talented guys go to the worst team sometimes, but not always the case, as we'll talk about in just a minute. But Real quick, a shout out to, I mean, Cooper Kupp is unbelievable. Yeah. I think he is one of the most underrated players in the NFL right now. But I want to give a little shout out to DeSean Jackson showing up and not getting injured.
DeSean Jackson fighting.
played a game, and he did not get injured for the year. And so 3 receptions, 120 yards, and a touchdown. That's a pretty good stat line right there. And I think he's 34 years old. I mean, you just forget how fast. I mean, he's 34 and he's blowing people out of the water. I mean, DeSean Jackson was Tyreek Hill before Tyreek Hill. And it was nice to see him out there and not get hurt immediately.
It really just shows you, we haven't seen just how good this Rams team can be yet. They haven't hit their stride on offense yet. Robert Woods hasn't gotten going yet. DeSean Jackson is just getting started. Tyler Higbee really hasn't gotten it. I mean, he's got a couple touchdowns, but hasn't really gotten it going yet. I mean, the running game hasn't quite gotten it going yet. This team, man, I feel really good about picking them to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it's looking pretty good. That's a good pick. One of the picks that I made last year that I'm very proud of is my love for Justin Herbert, which comes that brings us to our second top storyline in the NFL: the Chiefs losing at home in Arrowhead to the Los Angeles Chargers. And wow, Justin Herbert, 26 of 38, 281 yards, 4 touchdowns, no interceptions. I don't know how this game. Patrick Mahomes made some bad decisions. I mean, he had 2 interceptions. One was just not good at all. They had turnover. I think they had 3 straight turnovers. This was not the Chiefs that we've seen before. I was shocked.
Yeah, I'm starting to. I didn't think it would happen to the Chiefs because they've been to the Super Bowl past 2 years, but. Is it possible they're getting that Super Bowl hangover that we hear about year after year? When you lose the Super Bowl, it's hard to get back there. I don't know what's going on with that team on offense. It Mahomes throwing an interception in the final 2 minutes of a game-winning drive. Like, what? That's supposed to be game over. Like, that's where, Mahomes got the ball with 2 minutes left. All right, guys, it's over. That's how it's supposed to be. Two games in a row with Tyreek Hill really not doing much. I imagine they're still going to be fine and they're still going to make the playoffs, but it's clear that the gap between them and other teams in the AFC has closed, and I think they need to figure something out on offense. They're just not as efficient and as explosive as they have been in the past couple of years. And as far as the Chargers, they're legit. We both saw it. I mean, it's not like the writing was on the wall. You saw how they played last year. They're looking like a legitimate contending team this year. And it's like you said, not every good quarterback or good player goes to a bad team. I think he just kind of got Herbert just got lucky in the sense where the Chargers were really bad the year with Philip Rivers Philip Rivers last year, and they're like, hey, we got the number 6 pick, and we have all this talent all over the place. Yeah. Let's go ahead and Justin Herbert, and it just kind of worked out.
I think I don't know if we were on the show last week or we were just talking last week, but you pointed something out that made a lot of sense, and you said that the Chiefs, they need a third option.
Yeah.
Because as we've seen, like you said, Tyreek Hill has been kind of on lockdown for the last 2 weeks, which is shocking. Travis Kelce's gotten his catches and his yards, but like he's only one guy, and just the rest of that group are just, they're not, Mecole Hardman, DeMarcus Robinson, Byron Pringle, they're kind of just space fillers, and there's not that other guy that's either the slot receiver or another big time outside receiver that really can challenge a defense and make those double teams a lot harder than they've been.
I mean, I really think that. It's you have to kind of look back at the draft where Clyde Edwards-Helaire in the first round, and Jonathan Taylor is sitting right there. I don't remember all the running backs that were on the board when they decided to take CEH first, but that's not looking like a great pick right now. And I wonder if they could had. I know he had a decent game, but he also had a fumble in the game, and he had 2 fumbles the week before. I'm just wondering how different this team would look had they taken a player like Jonathan Taylor instead of Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and he was right there for the taking.
It'd be interesting to see, or another, just another wide receiver somewhere in there. I mean, there's a bunch of guys that they could have picked up, but We'll see. I mean, I think overall the Chiefs are still going to be the Chiefs, but the Chargers, I feel like the Chargers are for real, and this could be a rivalry that spans the next decade. And
well, the AFC West is for real right now. So,
speaking of, yeah, one of out of all of those teams, naturally, the Raiders and Broncos, we both thought would be 3-0 at this point,
and the Chiefs would be in last place.
Yeah, the Chiefs would be last. Yep, that's definitely what everyone saw coming. And that's our third top storyline of the week. So there's two sides of this coin. There's 3-0 teams, the Raiders and Broncos, which is mind-boggling, the Panthers, the Rams, and the Cardinals. So out of those, rank those teams in terms of being surprised by them being 3-0. So you have Cardinals, Rams, Panthers, Raiders, Broncos. Who surprises you the most at 3-0 right now?
I'm going to say the Broncos. No, I'm going to say the Raiders.
You're not wrong either way. So whatever you want.
Well, because we debated the Broncos versus the Raiders during the offseason when we were doing our divisional picks, and I felt like the Broncos had better offensive pieces and defensive pieces, like at running back, wide receiver, all that type of thing. But the quarterback position, which is the most important position, seemed to fall to seemed to favor the Raiders. But you see the Teddy Bridgewater. I mean, I have to take away Teddy touchdowns because he didn't throw a touchdown this past week. But Teddy Bridgewater is really looking good. I mean, playing the Jets is always a good formula to look great any week. But I've been very surprised by the Raiders, and they've kind of been lucky to escape with a couple of those wins, in fairness. But listen, it's the NFL. Most games are decided by one score or less, or basically decided by one score. So
yeah,
this is where we are. So yeah, I would say Broncos, the most surprised are the Raiders. Raiders, yep, sorry.
The Broncos are the biggest surprise to me, for sure. And that defense we knew was going to be good, but Vic Fangio is kind of in question. Was it going to be Drew Lock? Was it going to be Teddy Bridgewater? And Bridgewater's played well. I mean, that team is pretty talented. And again, without Jerry Jeudy, it seems like they're just rolling. And here's an interesting stat. So the Raiders, I'm not surprised the Raiders are 3-0. I'm not. I'm surprised a little bit, but not really. Because the Raiders, again, Derek Carr is a better than average quarterback. I feel like he doesn't always get the respect he deserves, and certainly the respect he deserves through 3 weeks this year. But the Raiders always seem to start hot and then kind of turn off. So, but here's an interesting stat. Points for, the Raiders have scored 90 points and they've had 72 points scored against them. The Broncos have scored 76 points and they've only allowed 26 points.
Wow. 26 points in three games. That's like, what is that, 8 points a game? I'm trying to do the math.
The Chiefs, for the rest, just to round out the division, the Chargers, points for 67, points against 60. The Chiefs, 92 points for, 95 points against.
Okay.
So the Broncos are allowing basically 25% of the points that the Chiefs have allowed so far, and that's crazy.
And you're also telling me that some of the onus seems to fall on the Chiefs' defense for their, I mean, it's not the end of the world that you're 1-2, but yeah, for the little stumbling out of the gates, some of the responsibility falls on the Chiefs' defense. You can't just be relying on Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce to bail you out every week.
Yeah, that's what we've seen with Aaron Rodgers over the last, how many years there while he was there. Yeah. It's just, here you go, kid, go win it for us. And then there's the other side of the coin is just 0-3 teams. And Jets, Jaguars, Lions,
yeah,
Giants. I think the Giants are the most surprising there. And well, we'll get to the extra point. I'll get to the Lions in a minute, but I think the Giants I'm most surprised by because they don't have any real injuries. It's just their offensive line is just not good. The Lions have been fighting. The Jets and the Jags. I'm a little surprised the Jags are 0-3. I thought maybe they'd have a win by now, but the Jets. I feel bad for Zach Wilson. I really do.
My most surprising 0-3 team is the Colts, actually.
Oh, did I forget the Colts?
You may have. I don't know if I didn't hear you say it, but
no, I didn't
say
it.
There's a number of 0-3 teams, so it's like take your pick. But I'm surprised to some extent, but it's just because you kept hearing all off season how much of an upgrade Carson Wentz was going to be over Phillip Rivers, and we haven't seen it. we haven't seen it this year. And in fairness, Phillip Rivers actually had a better year than I think most people realized last season.
Yeah.
But we haven't seen Carson Wentz be an elite quarterback. And it's kind of time to start looking back at last year. It's like, you know, maybe this wasn't the Eagles having an inept offense, although we see the Eagles getting destroyed right now on Monday Night Football. But it maybe wasn't the Eagles having an inept offense. Perhaps Carson Wentz was a below average quarterback like he looks like right now.
Yeah, that's a shame. But
the Giants, you know, they're a little bit surprising too, just because, as you said, they don't have a lot of injury. But they did in this past game against against the Falcons, they did have, I think, like three of their wide receivers get injured basically like in a period of like one quarter. So,
yeah.
You know, and you lost by 2 points. So that might be.
Yeah. And then, I mean, the Falcons are also pretty terrible. So,
Just there's some really bad teams in the NFL right now.
There was some really bad football this weekend. I mean, there's just some bad games that, and some of them turned out to be okay. But it's just a lot of games I was kind of flipping through going, this isn't going to be fun to watch. And we'll go through them. So, as a matter of fact, let's do that next. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. We have some injuries, some injury news to catch you up on and make sure that you're aware of all of those things for either your own team's sake or fantasy purposes. It's good information to have. And then we're going to go through each and every game, quick synopsis and recap. Jose and myself, our opinion of each and every game, so your team will not be left out. So stick around. There's that and more coming up on the Benchwarmers Podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Benchwarmers Podcast. Follow along with us on the Benchwarmers Podcast on Facebook and Instagram. And don't forget to review us on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you think or know you had COVID-19, you can be around others after 10 days since symptoms first appeared, and after 24 hours with no fever without fever-reducing medication, and after other symptoms have improved. If you have tested positive for COVID-19 and you had no symptoms, you can be around others 10 days after you got tested for COVID-19. To learn more, visit cdc.gov/coronavirus.
Welcome back to the Benchwarmers Podcast, where being all talk is actually a good thing. Now, back to the action. Or talk, I guess.
Welcome back to the program, everyone. I am Lou Ruggieri. That is Jose Ortiz, and this is still the Benchwarmers Podcast. Season 2, episode 22, running right along. We went over the top three news storylines in the NFL from week number 3. The Rams putting a beatdown on the Bucks, the Chiefs losing a heartbreaker to the Chargers, and our thoughts on 3-0 teams and 0-3 teams. We have to do our week 4 picks coming up in a bit. As long as play our favorite game, Make No Mistake or Give Me a Break. But first, we have to go through some injuries, fantasy purposes or just NFL purposes. We have a bunch to get to, and we'll keep it quick because we have to get to the extra point, which is our recap of every game from this last week. So, Jose, the big news, obviously, Christian McCaffrey out a few weeks, hamstring strain. That one, is he brittle? I mean, is he officially going to be labeled as brittle now? Is that sort of what that's what I took away from this, is just, here we go.
I mean, it's. I guess it's fair to say. I mean, his first 3 years, he didn't miss a game at all. And then last year, he got hurt, and now he's hurt this year. So, I think injuries are sometimes just a unlucky thing. You know, that some players are like, you know, I think Raheem Mostert is clearly injury prone, but sometimes you're just unlucky. And you know, the fact that he's not going to go on IR, he does get the ball basically all the time. So, you know, there's a lot of extra, you know, he takes a lot of hits. But I think this is actually good news for the especially since they're 3-0. He's not going to go on IR. Looks like he'll probably be back in about 3 weeks.
Yeah, it's just troubling, you know, running back with a hamstring injury. That sort of, those things can nag kind of perpetually. And he's just so much fun to watch. I hope that he comes back.
I hope he's good.
100%. It's Quentin Nelson, the all-pro offensive lineman for the Colts, sprained ankle. He's expected to miss a few weeks. IR is in the realm of possibilities. A.J. Brown with the Titans, hamstring strain, expected to miss a few weeks. James White, hip injury. He may be out for the season. We're still waiting to hear about that. And then, as you mentioned earlier, Darius Slayton and Sterling Shepard both strained hamstrings. And Juju Smith-Schuster injured his rib, but he's day-to-day. So out of all of those, so Quentin Nelson with the ankle, A.J. Brown and Darius Slayton, Sterling Shepard with hamstrings, and James White with the hip. I mean, which one is – who's the most concerning of that group?
I would say Quentin Nelson to me. Just because – I mean, A.J. Brown's a close second, but –
yeah,
you know, they still have Julio Jones over there. They still have King Henry, who just can't be stopped. Like,
he's still fun to watch.
It's ridiculous. He's just ridiculous. Quentin Nelson, though, you know, it's the what the top three offensive linemen in the NFL, yep, basically. And you know, the Colts are already struggling. Their season's kind of going, slipping away. And to lose your best offensive lineman and an All-Pro offensive lineman at that for a few weeks, he might come back, and they'll. What are they going to be, 0-6, 1-7, something like that. So this can get away from them very, very quickly. I do want to throw out one thing. I know we have to move to an extra point. I wonder if a lot of this is, you've seen in the last past few years, the NFL's teams have moved away from trying to put their players in preseason games and reducing the amount of summer practice, summer camp and workouts and all that type of stuff. And I wonder if just these hamstring strains that keep coming up. I mean, this whole thing had four hamstring strains. I wonder if a lot of that is based on just lack of conditioning early in the season.
Yeah, it's entirely possible. It just seems kind of odd that this is happening a lot this week. I think it's A.J. Brown, honestly, out of that, between Nelson. I mean, James White, if he's out for the year, obviously that hurts the Patriots. But
They're not going anywhere anyway.
Well, that's sort of how I feel about, the Giants wide receivers and Quentin Nelson, for that matter.
Fair enough.
The Colts are 0-3, and I know it's still early. It's a 17-game season, but 0-3, I mean, this very easily could be just a lost season. You know, if Carson Wentz can't stay healthy, now that you have your best Carson Wentz protector, kind of just sitting on the sidelines. I mean, maybe it's for the best that they just kind of retool and restart next year. But A.J. Brown, the Titans are 2-1. They need that guy out there to kind of complement Julio Jones, because, Julio Jones is getting older. He's not the Julio Jones of 2012. He's still pretty good, but he's not peak Julio Jones, and they need some kind of something to take the heat off of Derrick Henry in the backfield. So I think A.J. Brown is the most impactful, just from a standpoint of, success and winning kind of vantage point. But
yeah, and I think A.J. Brown also was dealing with some sort of injury during the offseason, heading into the season. And so this actually makes it even more concerning when you have that happen.
Yeah, so that's it for injuries. So let's move to the extra point. This is our recap of each and every game. So we'll keep it short, but we want to make sure we're all inclusive here on the Bench Podcast. So we want to make sure everyone feels involved. We don't want to just play the hits all the time. You got to talk about everybody. So Jose, I'm going to run through the scores. Just your quick kind of synopsis and your main takeaways were from each of these games.
All right.
Starting from Thursday, Panthers 24, Texans 9.
Easy win for the Panthers. Still very impressed with the step forward that they've taken this year. And on the Texans side, Texans defense is actually not that bad. And Brandon Cooks might be the most disrespected player in the game. The guy just finds a way to produce no matter who the quarterback is.
He's the new Larry Fitzgerald. Brandon Cooks needs to get on the phone with his agent and talk to Baltimore, because Baltimore needs a guy like Brandon Cooks. Hollywood Brown dropped, I don't know how many passes.
Five passes?
I saw him drop.
Yeah.
Please, free Brandon Cooks. Let him out of there. My takeaway, the Panthers 3-0, surprising. It's good for Sam Darnold. I think that's a defensive-led team, and they're happy to do it. The Texans are trying. They're putting up fights. They're a little overmatched. Davis Mills, not the answer, clearly. But, Texans, by the way, one of two teams in the NFL with 3,000-yard rushers in their backfield right now. The other one being the just aforementioned Baltimore Ravens.
That's right.
So, yeah, Texans. Yeah. Philip Lindsay, Mark Ingram, and David Johnson.
Wow.
The Ravens. Man. Latavius Murray, shockingly. I forgot that he had 1,000 yards. They had Le'Veon Bell. And Devontae Freeman, just a little trivia for you this week.
Yeah. Love that.
Okay, Colts 16, Titans 25.
I wonder if the Colts are closer to a bottom 10 team than they are to a top 10 team. I feel like early in the offseason, we both had them squarely in our top 15 power rankings, I'm pretty sure. And I also wonder if we should have, I already said this, we should stop assuming that Philadelphia was the problem. And the Titans, listen, they're just handling business after that just blowout loss to the Cardinals in week one. Titans have kind of righted the ship and look a little bit better.
Yeah, I think the Colts are
in trouble.
Dismal and disappointing. The Titans feel like they're getting back to form. Yeah, without Chandler Jones eating Ryan Tannehill alive, it's nice to see. Derrick Henry's just how do you tackle a guy who's 250 pounds who runs a 4.6? I mean, that's just he is just a nightmare. I can't even. Oh God,
it's, and he's so durable too. You don't really see him get hurt like. A lot of these other players that running back, we're just talking about Christian McCaffrey and you know, fill in the blanks. Just, you know, guys are missing time. Derrick Henry is just out there doing work all the time.
He's
delivering the punishment.
And yeah, and McNichols is a nice little changeup to spell him from time to time too. He's nice. I mean, he's certainly not Derrick Henry, but it's a nice little changeup. Battle of the bad. Falcons 17, Giants 14. Ugh.
I thought there was no way the Falcons could win this game based on what I had seen the first
two weeks. Them being the Falcons.
Yeah, and I'm still not really quite sure how they won the game. Like, the entire game was like, oh, the Giants are going to win this game, and they still managed to win the game. So my takeaway is that both of these teams are very, very bad.
Yeah, Younghoe Koo, game-winning 40-year-old field goal as time expired. That's how they won. And this game was just a throwaway. I mean, this game didn't even need to be played, really. It just doesn't matter for either one of them. Chargers 30, Chiefs 24.
So you got to take your hats off to the Chargers going into Arrowhead, taking down the big brother, the guy, the team that's been dominating the division for the last 3 years. But you do have to wonder, you know, do the Chiefs have another gear that they can get to? That's kind of what my takeaway was. I wonder if the Chiefs have that next step that they can take to figure out how to break out of this offensive malaise that they're in, because their defense is not going to rescue them from this.
Yeah, the Chargers are for real. I mean, that Justin Herbert taking that step forward, and Mike Williams is a beast. Oh my God.
He's finally getting targets. They're finally featuring him. For years, like the last 3 or 4 years, I was like, why is it every time you throw a pass to Mike Williams that it's got to be a 50-50 jump ball where he's making an incredible catch all the time? I'm not making that up, though. That's all you ever see.
Right.
Who's making just these incredible catches. Like, could you just throw the guy a 5-yard pass? So just a regular pass?
Yeah, I think the Chargers, underrated players across the board. I mean, Mike Williams, Keenan Allen, crazy underrated. Austin Eckler does not get the respect he deserves. Mike Williams, 6'4", 220. He's just a monster out there. And he looks like an all-pro. So it's looking good for them. Bengals, shocker. Bengals 24, Steelers 10, and it wasn't even that close.
I wonder if we should give Big Ben a new nickname and call him Has-Been Roethlisberger, because he has not been looking very good, and I'm wondering if the Steelers are destined to finish in last place in this division. I don't want to take anything away from the Bengals. They played well. They look promising. Their offense is kind of looking the way I expected it to come together. But the Steelers just look bad on offense. Just really, really bad.
Yeah, I mean, the Steelers defense is really what surprised me. I mean, that was not good. That's just Joe Mixon had a good game. Nice to see Ja'Marr Chase, 2 touchdowns, like connecting with Joe Burrow. I mean, Joe Burrow was only 14 of 18. But the game just, I don't know, that the Steelers just look awful.
Wasn't TJ Watt out of that game, though? Wasn't he injured?
Yeah.
Okay, so you know, you take Aaron Donald away from and that's the level player that TJ Watt is. You take Aaron Donald away from the Rams, the defense is not going to look as good. But I still don't think they get just embarrassed like that, but I mean, you know, it's just,
I will say,
listen, changing of the guards happening.
Yeah, Najee Harris is a big dude, by the way. The two running backs I noticed this week, Najee Harris is a lot bigger than I thought he was, and Trey Sermon for the 49ers is a lot smaller than I thought he was. It's just too
Najee
little.
Harris had 14 receptions. I didn't even notice
that. Yeah, Yeah, he was. That's all. Ben was check down Charlie. He just kept just dumping it off. He looked like Tom Brady with James White and the Patriots. I mean, it was just dump off, dump off, dump off, dump off. But I mean, what can you do if you're just getting pressured constantly? Yeah. Staying in that division, the Browns, 26, the Bears 6 in Justin Fields' opener.
Okay, so I just want to say something here. Okay, you and I are going to have this debate for the rest of time, but the Justin Fields experience somehow looked worse than the Andy Dalton experience. And for anyone who wonders why mid-range quarterbacks like Kirk Cousins and Ryan Tannehill get paid, it's because of what you saw from Fields on Sunday and also what you saw from Mac Jones and Zach Wilson and Trevor Lawrence on Sunday. If you were a contending team who drafted Justin Fields, you would be essentially throwing at least 1 year away, and you can't throw seasons away in the NFL. That's why, because I know the Browns sacked him 9 times. He looked just lost out there. Like he had nothing to, and listen, it's hard when you get pressured on 16 out of 30 passes, yeah. But you just, this is what happens. You have to throw at least a year away for the most part, unless you draft Justin Herbert, which, you know, most players, you're more likely to draft Daniel Jones than you are Justin Herbert. And you're lucky if you draft Daniel Jones, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, this, I didn't take too much away from this for the Bears. I think that, you know, it is his first start. He's gonna be a little bit lost. And not for nothing, you know, going up against Jadeveon Clowney and Miles Garrett had 4.5 sacks. I mean, that's...
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about the opener for the Bears being against the Rams and Aaron Donald. I mean, Miles Garrett's right there. So,
yeah,
the Browns are a Super Bowl contender. You know, the Bears are not a playoff contender.
I wasn't expecting him to look completely inept, though. It's one thing to get blown out. It's another thing to have, what do you have, 51 yards of offense, like, through the fourth quarter?
Yeah.
I have to look it up again, but I was following the game.
Their offensive line is bad. It's not good.
I was following the game. I was like, how do they only have 50 yards of offense heading into the fourth? Yeah, the Bears had 47 total yards of offense. I mean, you know, like, it's one thing to be beaten. It's another thing to completely look inept.
It's fair enough. Ravens 19, Lions 17, with the record-setting Justin Tucker 66-yard field goal to win the game.
One of the changes I'm happiest that the NFL has made in recent years was moving the extra point back 33 yards. I know this is not an extra point, but it really highlights the importance of having an elite kicker. And Justin Tucker is one of the best kickers of all time. And the Ravens can thank their lucky stars and Justin Tucker that they basically have a top 5 all-time kicker that bailed them out. And they need to find another dimension on offense because... Or they need Hollywood Brown to catch the ball, which he wasn't doing. But, you know, the 2 weeks before that, he looked better. So I'm just going to chalk it up to a bad game.
Yeah, I think the Lions put up a hell of a fight, and they should have won this game. I mean, Justin Tucker is making a case for greatest ever at this point. And he broke the record that I think Matt Prater had in Denver, which I think was 64 yards. And I can think of is if Justin Tucker played in Denver, it'd be 70-yard field goal. They'd be in the 70s. I mean, that was out loud. I watched the end of the game and was like, get the bleep out of here. I was, wow, that was.
The Lions tried.
DeAndre Swift looked good. I mean, Jared Goff played well. It's just the Lions just came up Lions again.
Yeah, I actually thought that, I was like, wow, the Ravens are actually about to lose this game. And I kind of walked away. Like, I didn't really wasn't paying attention. I come back and they're celebrating on the field. I was like, what?
Yeah.
So.
And the Ravens, I mean, if it's not Brandon Cooks from the Texans, call up the aforementioned Bears and get Allen Robinson out of there. Like, the Ravens need a number one. Hollywood Brown, they have to stop. They just have to stop pretending he's their number one. He's not. They don't have a number one right now. Their number one is Mark Andrews right now. They need, Lamar needs another top-tier, top-flight wide receiver.
In fairness, they did draft Rashad Bateman in the first round. I don't know if he's number one or not. Like, I'm not going to sit here and call myself a college football expert. I can't tell you if he's a number one player or not, a number one wide receiver or not. But they do have someone coming back. But, yeah, go make a trade. Go get somebody.
I mean, they did sign Sammy Watkins, who is, you know, 4 years past his peak. And so it felt like if you're going to spend money on a free agent, I mean, go get one of the good ones, you know, or make an offer. Trade with somebody. But the Saints beat put a beat down on the Patriots, 28-13.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird because we both, after the previous week, we both kind of had the Patriots winning this game. We got the Mac Jones experience, and three interceptions later, Patriots are back to being a bad team. I don't think the Saints are quite as good as they looked this Sunday, but they're just definitely in a different league than the Patriots.
Yeah, the big takeaway I had from this is on the Patriots side that Mac Jones is still a rookie. And, you know, one of those interceptions was not his fault. Jonnu Smith had to catch that ball, and it just went right through his hands. But more so that the Saints defense, I mean, there's not a lot of big-time names that you know about. You know, Cameron Jordan's there. Marshawn Lattimore's there. But aside from that, you don't really know too many of those guys. But they're coached up so well, and they just play so hard. That defensive line is just manhandling people, and it's paying dividends.
Yeah, they just gave up 26 points to the Panthers the week before that. So I think it's sometimes you just look better against bad teams.
Yeah, it's just matchups. Yeah. Cardinals 31, Jaguars 19.
Listen, the Cardinals are actually kind of lucky that they got this win. The Jaguars jumped out to an early lead. They had the crazy kickoff return or punt return touchdown.
109 return yards. Yep.
But at the end of the day, listen, the Cards are 3-0, and my takeaway is that they are a good team that has the potential to be great.
Yeah, this game was basically ended exactly how I think everyone thought it was going to end. It's their first 3-0 start since 2015, by the way. Wow. And they're rolling, and it's going to be they're in for a slugfest next week. But we'll get
what
to that.
Was Carson Palmer the quarterback of the Cardinals?
Yeah, they went to the conference championship that year.
Oh, man. Okay.
Let's see. Bills 43, Washington football team 21, and it wasn't even that close.
Listen, the Bills somehow lost to the Steelers in week one and made us question just how good they are. And then they responded the last 2 weeks by just crushing competition. It's really just like all you can say is a dominant performance by the Bills. They look like they're rounding into form on offense and defense, and Washington really needs a real quarterback and an upgrade on their offensive line.
Yeah, Heinicke, I mean, I still think Heinicke has some potential. I think the Bills being a Super Bowl caliber team, these are the Bills that we expected them to be. You know, Josh Allen, five total touchdowns, four passing, one rushing, no interceptions. I mean, those are insane numbers. And he ended up they put Mitch Trubisky in at the end just because it was such a lopsided victory. Speaking of beatdowns, the Broncos 26, the New York football Jets goose egg, big old zero.
The Jets are just so bad. And that's my takeaway, that Zach Wilson looked terrible again. And the Broncos, I'm not sure what to make of the Broncos because, I mean, they beat the Jets. Then last week they beat the Giants, I believe, and then the week before that they beat the Jaguars, or they just beat really bad teams. So I just it's just hard for me to really take it seriously. But my biggest takeaway is the Jets are really, really bad, and they're going to end up with another top five pick. And I just don't know if Zach Wilson I would hate to be Zach Wilson and end up on the Jets.
Yeah, I mean, you stole a little bit of my thunder there because I kind of had the same takeaway with the Broncos. It feels a little like fool's gold potentially because they have beaten three of the worst teams in the league. And granted, you can only play who's on your schedule, but
yeah,
you know, I mean,
I get the Ravens this week, so we'll see.
I don't think we'd be saying the same thing if this was the Bucs who were playing those three teams and winning. But Broncos, I feel like, is still kind of a question mark. And the Jets, the only thing I can think, I mean, it feels like Zach Wilson is setting up to be David Carr, you know, 2.0, maybe not even that much, maybe, you know, Josh Rosen or something, where he just gets beaten down so badly that he's done before he even starts. Dolphins 28, Raiders 31. Raiders eking out another one.
Listen, the Raiders are in first place in the AFC West. They're somehow 3-0, and they're winning close games, and that's kind of the recipe to doing well in the NFL. You got to win your close games. I want to give them some credit now because I don't think there's any way on earth they keep this up throughout the season. So let's just go ahead and give them their props right now before we can't give it to them later.
Yeah, this game, I don't know. I just think the Dolphins, I don't know if the Dolphins, if Jacoby Brissett played that well or the Raiders defense played that poorly, but it was very surprising to see them put up 28 points.
Well, they're not having an elite defense, right? The Raiders, you can score on the Raiders.
That's what I mean. I just think that, you know, I don't know if which one, if it was a little of both, where Jacoby played better than I thought he was, or the Raiders defense played worse than I expected. But it's the Raiders, again, first 3-0 start since 2002 when they lost to the Super Bowl to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Yeah.
Rich Gannon, starting quarterback.
Derek Carr, let's see if they can keep just prove that you can do it past Thanksgiving, Raiders. That's all.
The only thing I'll just add is I think, you know, winning this close game and then kind of winning the close games they have, it just kind of shows the value of having, you know, maybe Derek Carr is not a top five quarterback and never is going to be a top five quarterback, but having a decent starting quarterback is really more, I think people take it for granted how difficult it is to be a top 15 quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think Derek Carr does not get the same respect he probably deserves. A lot like our next quarterback, Minnesota Vikings, and your Kirk Cousins just beating down the Seattle Seahawks. Russell Wilson, his first career loss versus Minnesota. He was 7-0, including the playoffs, up until this week.
So as much as I love rooting for Kirk Cousins because I'm top 10 quarterback. But This is about the Seahawks to me. The Seahawks is missing something. The Seahawks offense is missing something, and I'm not sure what it is. I've got a couple stats here that I think will highlight what's missing, like what the issue is, and I don't know how they fix it. Through three games, their opponents have 84 first downs combined. The Seahawks have 56.
Wow.
Their opponents have run 227 offensive plays. The Seahawks have run 157. Their opponent's average time of possession is 38 minutes and 4 seconds compared to just 23 minutes and 40 seconds for the Seahawks. They just can't sustain drives. They can't hold on to the ball. Too many three and outs, too many deep shots, and not just methodically going down the field. Maybe they're not committing to the run enough. Something is wrong with this offense, and the yardage is there, the point totals are there, but they just can't seem to hold on to the ball.
Yeah, I agree. I think that it just feels like I feel like Pete Carroll wants to run the ball, and maybe it's what Russell Wilson was complaining about early, you know, in the offseason, his offensive line. Maybe it's just the line is just not that good. And, you know, we see it feels like DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett sort of trade weeks when they're going to be good. They can't, if they could both be good at the same time, maybe they do something, but I don't know if it's Chris Carson is not that talented or if it's just, but their defense too. I mean, without Dalvin Cook on the field, Alexander Mattison bowled over them. I mean, he averaged 4.3 yards a carry and Kirk Cousins torched them. He was 30 for 38. I mean, that's top to bottom. That's just getting beat on the ground and through the air. So,
yeah. I mean, the other thing is they gave up, like, and we talked about this a little bit last year, you know, you give up two first round picks for a guy like Jamal Adams. And I don't think he's making the impact on your defense that you would expect.
He did have 10 tackles.
He had 10 tackles. I'm not saying he had a bad game. I'm not saying he had a bad game. But those two first-round picks, like, your defense is still trash, right? Yeah. So those two first-round picks might have been better off maybe strengthening your offensive line, you know, doing any number of other things. I'd never liked that trade because I don't think a safety impacts your defense that much.
That's fair. That's fair. It was a little rich, I think, of a pay, but yeah, we'll see. Seahawks might be in trouble. Buccaneers 24, Rams 34.
I mean, what else can we say? I thought the Rams just really flexed their muscles. Both teams are very good on offense, but there's a clear difference. The difference on this team is on the defense, and the Rams are now, to me, clearly the best team in the NFL until further notice.
Yeah, this game, it just highlighted the fact that the Buccaneers secondary is in trouble, and the Rams, just defense, you know, their offense is prolific, but it does help when you have, you know, two players that are the top three of their respective positions on defense. So,
yep.
Finally, your 49ers losing a heartbreaker to Packers at home in a what can only be described as a vintage Aaron Rodgers ending.
Yeah, I was dejected the entire game. I this is from a fan's perspective, right? Yeah. Like I'm sitting here watching the game. I just hate Jimmy Garoppolo. Like, and I feel bad because I used to like him, but I feel like sometimes it's like just throw the ball, like do something. And unless Kyle Shanahan's drawing up, you know, his gimmicky, or I don't know if to call him gimmicky, but just creative plays that get people open.
Exotic.
Yeah, there we go. It doesn't feel like Jimmy Garoppolo has the ability to just hit guys. I mean, you know, you're watching now. Listen, it's not fair to compare him to Aaron Rodgers, who's one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. But man, I'm watching him throw to Davante Adams, and it's easy. It's like pitch and catch out there. Like they're not even. There's nothing that Jimmy Garoppolo. Everything feels so difficult for him. Every pass he completes, every offensive possession is so hard for them. And this offense is just very limited. It's all dink and dunk inside the numbers in the middle of the field. I want to switch to Trey Lance now.
Yeah,
that's my takeaway.
Yeah, I had two thoughts about this game, and one was, you know, the 49ers on defense. I mean, Nick Bosa looked good, but look what teams have done to Tyreek Hill against the Chiefs. I mean, you have to take your chances with everyone else, but triple team Davante Adams, because those other guys are not making every catch the way Davante Adams is. And on the other side of the ball, the Niners, this felt, all I could keep thinking about was how much the 49ers with Jimmy Garoppolo reminded me of the Rams with Jared Goff.
Yep.
Where it's you can see it. I mean, dude, Deebo Samuel is a monster. He's so good. George Kittle, unbelievable. And it just feels like they're just struggling and straining, and it's just so hard. And it's hard not to think it's coming from Jimmy Garoppolo. He had a couple plays where you're just like, what was that? What are you doing? You know, he had that little goofy backwards pass where he was throwing forward and he was throwing it, but it was throwing backwards, and either way it was going to be a fumble. And it just feels like he's Jared Goff-esque. Like he's good enough to start, but he's not good enough to be a great quarterback. And a team like the 49ers with that much coaching talent, with that much offensive talent, and with enough defensive talent to make, you know, a run at it, they just need something better. And I couldn't help but think in the offseason, Aaron Rodgers, the guy on the other side of the field who's just going down the field and lighting you up with 37 seconds left to go, he could have been on that team right now. You know, he could be on the 49ers if they had gone with, you know, a trade for Aaron Rodgers instead of going with Trey Lance. And, you know,
I don't know if they were going to get him for that, for just one pick.
Maybe not. Okay. But even still, if you have to give up a couple picks, I mean, look what the Rams gave up for Matt Stafford, and it looks like it's a pretty good deal. I mean, if they had to mortgage a little bit more, that team is ready to win now.
Yep.
And they just, I like Jimmy, I do, but I think that he's not in a place where he's going to succeed.
Yeah. Yeah.
And finally, I mean, no, the game's not over yet. The full disclosure, we're recording this Monday night, but it looks pretty good for the Cowboys against the Eagles. And
all I can say is the Cowboys are clearly the best team in a really bad division. I mean, it's really that's
best
the takeaway.
Worst. That's this is not a good division. All right, that's going to do it for the extra point. That's all your games and then some. We try to do that each and every week so everyone feels included. We're going to take a break and come back. And speaking of breaks, we're going to play Make No Mistake or Give Me a Break and make our week 4 picks. So stick around for that right after this on the Benchwarmers Podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Benchwarmers Podcast. Follow along with us on the Benchwarmers Podcast on Facebook and Instagram. And don't forget to review us on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you're sick with COVID-19 or think you might have it, take steps to help protect other people from getting sick. Stay home except to get medical care. Call the doctor before visiting. Separate yourself from others who live with you. Wear a cloth face covering to protect others. Cover your coughs and sneezes with a tissue and clean your hands right away. Avoid sharing items with other people in your home. This includes things like towels and bedding. Be sure dishes are washed in hot water or the dishwasher before anyone else uses them. Stay aware of how you feel. If you start to have difficulty breathing or if you're worried about your health, call your doctor. For more tips, visit cdc.gov.
And now back to the Benchwarmers podcast with Lou and Jose.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. This is the Benchwarmers podcast, season 2, episode 22. Almost in the books. You can go back and listen to the rest of this show and all of our previous shows if you'd like. iHeartRadio, Amazon, Anchor, Google Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can follow us along on social media, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, at the Benchwarmers Podcast, at the BW Pod on Twitter. Please go subscribe, rate, review. We need and would very much like all of your feedback. So, or you can go to thebenchwarmers.com and get all of that information and more. We touched on the top three NFL storylines this week, the Rams over the Bucks, the Chiefs losing to the Chargers, and our most surprising and least surprising 3-0 and 0-3 teams, some injury news. We just went through all of the games in the league with a little synopsis of each. We call that the extra point. And now it's time to look forward already. It's time for make week 4 picks. And before that, we're just going to play Make No Mistake or Give Me a Break. We're going to each make a series of two true-false statements, and we're either going to agree or disagree. So, Jose, I'll throw this one out at you. Make no mistake or give me a break. Three playoff teams will come out of the NFC West.
Three playoff teams.
Three.
I almost want to say give me a break because I think it might be four, but I'll say.
At least three teams will make it. At least three playoff teams will come out of the NFC West.
I'll definitely say make no mistake. You have 2-3-0 teams. The 49ers are so close to being 3-0. I think it's almost a guaranteed lock when you look at the rest of the NFC that at least three teams are coming out of the NFC West.
Make no mistake.
All right, here. I've got this one for you. The Denver Broncos will make the playoffs.
I'm saying give me a break. I'm not buying into it yet. I think, you know, we talked about this earlier when we talked about the game. They're 3-0, and the three teams they beat have been three of the worst teams in the league. So I'm sticking with how I felt in the preseason. My first impression of this team is that they're a great defense. They have some talent on offense, but they're not ready to make that next step yet. So I'm saying give me a break.
Yeah, I'm going to say give me a break. We need to see them prove it against other playoff contending teams, which they have not played yet. Probably we can revisit this next week if they can happen to get a win against the Ravens. But yeah, give me a break for right now.
So I'm sticking in that same division. My make no mistake or give me a break. The Chiefs will not win their division this year.
I'm going to go give me a break. I think they get it, you know. Yeah, they're just 1-2 right now. I think they get it together. They'll have a chance to play the Chargers again, and they'll have a chance to play the other teams twice in the division. So I think this is still their division.
So this one was tough because they're right now they're in last place. You know, yeah. The Raiders are 3-0, the Broncos are 3-0, the Chargers are what, 2-1?
Yeah. You know, we don't believe in the Broncos. I mean, that's the thing. Like, if we don't believe in the Broncos, if we don't believe in the Raiders, then that only leaves two teams.
Yeah. It's basically if the Chargers, can the Chargers keep it up? Because I want to. I'm going to say, you know what? Make no mistake. I'm going to go for it. I'm going to say
all right.
I'm going to put it up. I'm going to say the Chargers eke it out. I think maybe that's, it might be the Chiefs. It just might not be, like you mentioned earlier in the show, it might be a Super Bowl hangover.
Yeah,
and they just don't look right yet, so maybe that'll come back to haunt me. But
that's fine. It's week three. It's fine. The last one here: the Bills are the best team in the AFC.
I, hmm. I don't know. I really I don't know.
I hit the sweet spot.
You know, I'm gonna say give me a break only because I mean I picked the Browns to go to the Super Bowl, so I have to stick with them. I don't know about the Bills. I think that this week was you know lights out performance by Josh Allen, but their running game is still a little suspect, and their defense, I don't know what to make of their defense. Sometimes they look great, sometimes they look kind of average and mediocre. So I think the Browns from top to bottom are a more complete team. Obviously the quarterback position being the big factor in favor of the Bills, but I'm going to say give me a break.
I'm going to say make no mistake here. Through the first three games, although I did pick the Browns to go to the Super Bowl, and that just because you're the best team in the AFC doesn't mean that you end up winning. I mean, that's the nature of one game situation in the playoffs. But the Bills have just looked at their best. Like you're saying, hey, the Bills and the Browns, and
their ceiling is highest. Yes.
Who's going to play their best? If all these teams play their best, I think the Bills are the best team in the AFC right now, from what I've seen.
Yeah, I think their ceiling is the highest. I will give you that. All right. So that's it. Make no mistake. Give me a break. We'll keep it short because we have our weekly picks to get to. Well, let's recap last week. I think we had our Put Your Money Where Your Mouth Is, which is our money bet. We try to play the lines courtesy of DraftKings Sportsbook. I sucked this week. I think I missed it. Did not cover.
Sucked is a kind of a tough one. I mean, you only missed it by half of a point. You had the Raiders -3.5 at home versus the Dolphins, and the Raiders won only by 3. And I actually lucked out here. I had the Panthers -8.5 over the Texans, and they won 24-9. So nice. We are both 1-2.
Yeah.
Heading into week 4. Let me know who's your week 4 pick for Put Your Money Where Your Mouth Is.
Put Your Money Where Your Mouth Is. I went with the Saints -7.5 at home against the Giants, because I think the Saints defense is been better than advertised, and the Giants offense has been crappier than advertised. So I think that's a good combination to win by more than a touchdown and a half.
Yeah, I think it's a good pick, especially considering the injuries that the Giants have on offense. I mean, they were already a subpar offense, and now you have the injuries, so not going to be a good start for them or good game for them. I picked the Titans -7.5 at the New York Jets. Just taking the Titans. The Jets have been just atrocious.
Abysmal. Yeah, there's a lot of words for it.
I expect that to continue.
Yep, we're giving the finger to the New York teams.
Yeah.
I don't think we did that and do that on purpose. I'm against the Giants or against the Jets.
They're just both really bad.
7.5 points. Yeah, they're both real bad. All right, so that's our Put Your Money Where Your Mouth Is. As far as our weekly picks, our win-loss record, we did pretty good this week.
Yeah, we're 9-6. Both of us actually looks like it's going to be 10-6 because the Eagles have a miraculous comeback, we're probably going to be 10-6. Currently, until the game is official, my record is 25-23. Your record is 27-21. We were split. I took the Vikings over the Seahawks. You took the Seahawks over the Vikings. I won there. But then you took the Packers over the 49ers, and I took the 49ers. So you won there. That's why we end up with the same exact record.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and go into our week 4 picks. Thursday Night Football, Jaguars at the Bengals.
So again, these are just win-loss, no points in this. Jaguars at the Bengals.
Yep,
you have to go Bengals, don't you? I mean, the Jags look, they have talent. They're just, I think the Bengals, the Jamar Chase, Joe Burrow chemistry is looking better and better. So give me the Bengals.
Yeah, they look better than I would have expected. And it's hard to take the Jaguars under any circumstance. So I'm going to go ahead and take the Bengals as well. Titans at the Jets. I obviously just took the Titans -7.5. So I'm taking the Titans.
So yeah, straight up Titans.
Yeah, of course. Chiefs at Eagles.
You got Chiefs. Chiefs have a bounce back.
This is going to be the ultimate bounce back game.
Yeah.
Ultimate bounce back game here.
I think Terry Hill gets his head right in this game.
If they manage to lose, then, oh my goodness, if they lose this game.
Well, then we know how we're starting the show next week.
Yeah. How about Panthers at Cowboys?
See, this is a sneaky good, good game, I think, because the Panthers defense is very good. But I'm going to go Cowboys. I think without Christian McCaffrey, you know, the Cowboys offense is clicking. I think they can do enough to kind of offset that great Panthers defense. And I don't think the Panthers offense is going to be good enough, even though the Cowboys defense is kind of questionable.
Yeah, I like the Cowboys too here. What I saw after Christian McCaffrey left the game last Thursday was an offense that's okay, you know, and they kind of need Christian McCaffrey kind of unlock that offense. We'll see. You know, they'll have a whole week to game plan without Christian McCaffrey being there. So perhaps they'll be able to kind of kick it into gear. But yeah, I'm taking the Cowboys here. And Giants at Saints, you're obviously taking the Saints.
Yeah,
taking the Saints as well.
Gonna be tough.
And you know, look, I have to go someplace because I always get the 1 o'clock game. Like it'll be like the Jets and the Giants because we're in the New York, New Jersey area, and I'm like, I don't really want to watch the Jets and the Giants get destroyed at 1 o'clock, both at the same time. Like, come on, man! All right,
yeah.
How about the Browns at the Vikings? This is a good one.
This might be the best game of the week, honestly. I think I'm gonna go Browns. Because I think that defensive line for Cleveland is going to, I'm assuming Dalvin Cook is probably not, even if he does play, he's not going to be 100%. So I think Kareem Hunt, by the way, I don't know if you watched him run. He runs like his hair is actually on fire. He runs so hard and he just has this frenetic pace that is every time I watch him run, I'm like, oh my God, that's got to be the hardest guy to, it's like he's on meth. Like he just is running like a maniac or in like a zombie movie. But I think it's the Browns. Give me the Browns.
Yeah, I'm taking the Browns as well. I was really tempted to take the Vikings.
Yeah.
But I can't. I can't take the Vikings. How about the Lions at the Bears?
You know what? This was going to be potentially my put your money where your mouth is our sports bet. Because the Lions are getting 3 points, I think, because they're home. I'm going to go Lions. I think the Lions have fought hard. They've come up against a bunch of good teams, and they put up a fight. And, you know, Jared Goff, I feel like he has something to prove, and granted, he's on the Lions, but that team, they didn't quit. They did not quit against the Ravens. They kept fighting, and, you know, DeAndre Swift is looking like the guy we thought he might be. Give me the Lions.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that. I as much as I want to take the Bears so I can be different from you this week, I just... 41 yards of total offense last week. Like, you can't, like, I just can't buy into the Bears right now. They need a few more weeks.
So bad.
Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's just, I can't buy into that. I can't select that. So it's just, I mean, maybe it turns around. Like you said, they were facing the Browns last week, but like, wow, that's really bad. All right. How about the Texans at the Bills? I'll be taking the Bills, obviously.
I'm going to go with the Bills.
Yeah.
Although I think this game is going to be a lot closer than we think. I think the Texans are going to – the Texans have some fight in them. They're not scared. I mean, they're playing with house money. They have nothing to lose. But, yeah, the Bills are just – Bills are a Super Bowl team. The Texans might be number one pick next year team.
How about the Colts at the Dolphins?
The Jacoby Brissett revenge game, maybe? Man.
You know, I'm gonna go with the Colts here. I feel like this is a game where the Colts kind of get it going a little bit, and I'm just gonna go ahead and take the Colts.
Is the game?
It's in Miami.
Give me the Dolphins.
All right.
Go on the Dolphins. Jacoby Brissett revenge game.
Yeah, it's sweet. It's gotta be different somewhere. All right.
Xavier Howard makes a mockery of Carson Wentz.
That's fair.
Quentin Nelson.
I was thinking it was going to be a Jonathan Taylor game, but either way, Washington football team at the Falcons.
Battle of the bad. Wow. Give me Washington.
Okay.
Give me Washington. Falcons, I don't know what to make of the Falcons. They have talent on the offense, and they just... This might look a lot like the Falcons-Giants game, honestly. This might last-second field goal. I mean, that's... Wow. I think the Washington's defensive line, I hope that they step up a little bit. And Washington feels like they have... I mean, their skill position players are really good. But... I'll take Washington, begrudgingly.
Yeah, I just like the Falcons here. I feel like, you know, they're going to be at home. They're just coming off of a big win. They kind of started slow last year as well. I'm liking the Falcons here. Seahawks at the 49ers. Just going to ride or die here. I'm taking the 49ers. Call me a ride or die fan.
Seahawks at the 49ers.
Yep.
This game could be a tie. I almost want to call tie on this one because which team for each one of these guys is going to show up? I'm going to go 49ers. I feel like Kyle Shanahan has had the Seahawks number in the last couple of years, even without Jimmy Garoppolo. And I saw a stat on Sunday night. Jimmy Garoppolo, when he started, he's averaging 28 points a game on offense. And without him, the 49ers are averaging, I think it's just under 21 points a game on offense, which is shocking. But yeah. I guess Chris Gethard and whoever else they've had in there is not that great. I mean, obviously Trey Lance might change that, but I'll go 49ers with kind of a little hesitation.
Yeah. I just like the 49ers. They're at home coming off a disappointing loss. The Seahawks offensive line is pretty vulnerable. 49ers are strong on the defensive line. It kind of feels like there's a chance for the 49ers to make something happen. Although I do worry about the secondary woes of the 49ers and just getting torched at some point by
DK Josh Metcalf. Norman comes back and can play. He can at least be a useful piece in trying to stop that. One of those guys, either Lockett or Metcalf.
What I think is actually the game of the week here, Cardinals at Rams, battle of 3-0 teams here. Yeah. I'm going to stick with the Rams here. The Cardinals look great, but let's be serious.
All 3-0, I think. Yeah, the Rams defense, I think, makes the game here because Kyler Murray is just a nightmare, but so is Aaron Donald. I think that he disrupts that whole offense pretty handily. So, yeah, give me the Rams. Matt Stafford is a man on a mission.
Steelers at Packers.
You got to go Packers, don't you? I mean, the Steelers just, I don't know what the Steelers are doing. I mean, the Packers didn't look great against the Niners, but Aaron Rodgers is still Aaron Rodgers. And Steelers, oof.
Yeah, I mean, it's Najee Harris is going to get a lot of targets, apparently. But, no.
That's about it.
Yep. All right. Ravens at Broncos. This is interesting because I don't really know who either team is right now.
At Broncos?
Yeah. I'm going to take the Ravens here. I think the Ravens are the better team, but it's tough.
I think you're right, but... Give me the Broncos. Give me the Broncos at home.
Okay.
Their defense, I think, like we saw. I mean, Lamar Jackson has some magic to him. I don't know. He just makes things happen. And when he runs the ball, he looks like Barry Sanders. The moves he makes... The moves he has, I mean, he's reminiscent of Barry Sanders. The start, the change of direction, the misdirection. It's incredible what he can do. But that offense is just so limited. I mean, Hollywood Brown is fast, but he can't catch. Mark Andrews is their number one target, and their running backs are. It's just a mishmash of. It's like the Island of Misfit Toys. They're just a bunch of guys that, unless Le'Veon Bell gets in the game, which I don't know what they're waiting for, but. He looks like, if he can catch the ball, he might be their number one receiver. So, but until then, I think the Broncos defense is gonna put the screws to them. Give it to Broncos.
All right. And an interesting matchup here, albeit lopsided. The Bucks at the Patriots.
Bucks.
Yeah. I thought there'd be win one for Bill or something like that, but let's be serious here. The Patriots are terrible.
I mean, the Patriots defense is going to be good, I think. But and I think that Belichick, especially after that loss to the Rams, there he's going to have a lot to use in terms of an offensive game plan. Josh McDaniels against the Bucks, you know, in that kind of porous secondary. But Mac Jones, he did not look good this week, and I can't do it. I mean, Tom Brady, you talk about man on a mission with Matt Stafford. I mean, I had the thought this week against the Rams that Tom Brady was looking ahead in the schedule and just looking at his homecoming and kind of looking past the Rams a little bit. But I don't know. I don't know if that's true or not, but I think that Tom Brady's going to have something to prove going back home to Foxborough.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And that's going to be such a good game. Yeah. So I cannot wait for that game.
And, you know, it's interesting because the Bill Belichick's whole thing is taking the number one weapon away from you. I don't even know who you're taking away.
Yeah.
Like, okay, fine. You can take Godwin away. All right, I'll just go to Mike Evans. Oh, you take Mike Evans away? I'll go to Godwin. Like, oh, you take them both away? I'll have Antonio Brown and Gronk. So, I mean, it's assuming Gronk is healthy. All right, last game, and really a good Monday Night Football game coming up, which I wouldn't have expected it to be good offseason. Raiders at Chargers.
Yeah, I mean, that's battle of 3-0s, right? I mean, that's...
Well, Chargers are 2-1.
Or 2-1, sorry. Yeah, the Broncos are 3-0, sorry. Raiders are 3-0.
I'm taking the Chargers here. It's at home.
Yeah.
You know, it could be a situation, though, where the Chargers got so charged up. A bad pun, but they got so charged up after beating the Chiefs that, you know, maybe they look past the Raiders, but...
It's possible. I think that the Chargers, just from top to bottom, I think, you know, Derek Carr is a very good quarterback. I think Justin Herbert could eventually be a great quarterback. And honestly, it's more about the defense for me, because if Derwin James had a little hiccup, he came back in the game, so he's still healthy. And Joey Bosa are going to clamp down on that Raiders offense. That's very, very, it's just limited. I mean, it's Darren Waller and kind of just whoever decides to show up. You know, Hunter Renfro is okay. And, you know, Henry Ruggs occasionally decides to play. I mean, Josh Jacobs looks like he's still going to be out, so they're stuck with just Drake for a while. And then, yeah, the Chargers offense they're rolling. And they're going to, Mike Williams and Keenan Allen are going to decimate that Raiders defense.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be ugly, I think, but I don't know. Part of me doesn't want to sleep on the Raiders because they've been finding a way, but I'm going to go with the Chargers.
Yeah, I think it's Chargers. All right, so that's going to do it. It's week 4 picks in. You can go back and listen to our week 3 picks, even though we kind of recapped it for you. But in case you want to, you can go back and listen to iHeartRadio, Amazon, Anchor, Google Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. Once again, follow us along Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, at the Benchwarmers Podcast, at the BW Pod on Twitter. Go to thebenchwarmers.com for all of that information and more. Please subscribe, rate, review, download. We're trying to do the best show we can for you, and a little feedback goes a long way sometimes. So season 2, episode 22 in the books. For Jose Ortiz, I am Lou Ruggieri, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.